Good morning, everyone. I've got a question to ask.
Do you want to be a ninja?
Darren and Lito will tell you how.
They can't do it themselves because they're not that strong.
This is the American Ninja Warrior song.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the American Ninja Warrior, a Hap-Up podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and with me today is Lita. How are you doing, Lita?
I am good. This is my only off day in 9 days, so nowhere I would rather spend it.
Yes.
Than at my favorite job.
Yes, and busy day of big brothering for me, but we love you, American Ninja Warrior people. We're getting it in.
Yes, we would never delay a podcast on behalf of something silly like Taryn's actual job.
Well, we are here to talk about the Baltimore City Finals, and what was this?
What do you mean? You didn't love the Angry Birds-sponsored obstacle?
The birds were so angry.
They were so angry at the ninjas, they didn't let anybody pass.
Yes. There's people, the birds are just like, you know, how many obstacles are named after spiders? Lots of them. How many obstacles are named after birds, huh?
Yeah, so they're now getting their revenge.
Yeah.
Did you like this better or worse than the Ninjago roll as a sponsored obstacle? Not as an obstacle, but, you know, as a...
As the name of the obstacle?
Yeah, or as just a general sponsor.
I hate Ninjago as a word, so I have to go with Angry Birds.
Okay. I would rather... This time, my DVR actually did record it, which sometimes it doesn't. So I'm really glad I didn't have to sit through the Angry Birds promo. I would rather watch a Lego movie promo than an Angry Birds promo.
There's like a movie, right? There's an actual, that's the whole sponsorship, I guess.
Yeah, it's the sequel.
It's the second movie.
Yeah,
it's Angry Birds 2. I didn't even know there was a first movie.
Yeah, Jason Sudeikis is in it.
Well, congrats, Jason.
He's married to Olivia Wilde.
He's the guy with the big beard, right?
No.
No? Jason Sudeikis.
He's on SNL, or he was.
Oh, yeah, I don't even know who that guy is.
Oh, well, he's married to Olivia Wilde.
I was thinking of the guy with the beard.
Who's the guy with the beard?
I think his name is Jason. He was in Mantzoukas.
Jason Mantzoukas.
Mantzoukas.
Jason Mantzoukas is literally my husband, so I'm offended that you didn't know his name.
I'm offended that you thought of Jason Sudeikis over Sudeikis. Jason Mudeikis.
Mantzoukas. Oh, I didn't think of him. He's just literally in Angry Birds too. If the prompt was think of a famous Jason, then yeah, I would have gone with Jason Mantzoukas, who is, because I am married to him and we are wed to one another.
If you say so.
I love him.
He's a very funny guy.
One of my biggest celebrity crushes.
And he's got a beard. So.
Wow. Are you shocked that he's my type?
Yeah. All right. So we are here in Baltimore with Angry Birds as an obstacle. So we have the front half of the course. It doesn't seem too difficult, unlike the last one. Shrinking steps followed by double twister, dangerous curves, hazard cones, crank it up, and the warped wall. I honestly don't even remember seeing many of these obstacles throughout the night, mostly because it was just wait for them to get to Angry Birds
and fail.
So then, of course, you get to the salmon ladder, then Angry Birds. And so Angry Birds is an obstacle. It's like, you eat them like a skewer. I'm trying to think of the word right now. Yes, a kebab. This is like an obstacle kebab where it is a one big like skewer in the middle of a bunch of circular-ish shaped obstacles. And the different shapes are they matter. The thing spins. And so each little piece of, I guess, meat or vegetable that would be on your kebab has its own like weird handholds, and it spins across the thing as you go forward. And the big part in the kebab is when you transition from a forward facing handhold to a backward facing handhold, and that is what not a single athlete in the entire episode is able to complete.
Yeah. And this is not like, oh, nobody could complete it, but if we had seen some of the real stars, then maybe Naji Richardson, Joe Moravsky couldn't complete it.
Yeah.
And this is not possible.
Those are two of the people, like those two and like Drew I would have been like, or honestly, even, you know, I feel like, Sean Bryan. I feel like Jesse, I feel like I would have expected to beat this one. But not the case, not the case. Nobody able to complete this. And they even, we'll talk about it when we get there, but they even showed that, a tester managed to do it.
So it's possible.
So that's where it ended there. And after this was Cane Lane, which is one of the more difficult ninth obstacles. It's part of stage three. This was a very difficult course here. Of course, that's followed up by Spider Trap, but we don't see any of that. Anyway, it's a very, very strange episode overall, because everybody fails at the same point. I feel like it really exposes the weakness in their standings, these qualifiers, to me. I've never loved farthest the fastest when what that means is getting to the obstacle where like somebody can be nearly complete, can nearly complete the obstacle and then fail, and somebody who made it to that place first and then immediately fell on it would be better than you. I don't love that, and I feel like this really exposes part of the failure in that.
We actually got a question on Twitter related to this. At KKKM94 said, do you prefer to see more people finish the NW courses so that speed and time become more important, or do you enjoy watching the ninjas attempt nearly impossible obstacles leading to fewer finishing the qualifying courses? I prefer to see finishers because it's way more fun. It's basically exactly the same thing when they have the timer next to each other to see if they will make it, except it's way more fun to see them trying to hit a buzzer when that clock is ticking than just touch the next obstacle.
Yeah. I will say I don't mind really tough obstacles. I don't mind that people had a lot of trouble with this one. But I would have much preferred it to be at least the ninth obstacle because, again, as it being a qualifying course, if it's going to be really tough, it needs to be at the end so that it doesn't become who can quickly get through the qualifying course again. Because that's basically what this entire episode was who can complete the qualifying course plus salmon ladder in the fastest time. And most people can do the salmon ladder by now. It's a staple of the show. It had a completely different set of qualifications than most city finals do, and that's why we're going to see some disappointing results, especially when it comes to obviously we'll talk about Jamie Ron. We're like, Jamie Ron should be going to Vegas over people who can barely complete the salmon ladder,
right?
But it's not happening, and that's where they failed here, I think, in the city.
Yeah, I agree. And they go on to try to sort of spin it as like, oh, it's been such a shocking night. It's like, I mean, it's not really shocking when it's set up like this that somebody like JB doesn't qualify. Like, it's actually the least shocking night because over and over again, we see people fail at the exact same spot.
Yeah. So that's the bad news. But you were telling me something about a DM that you were getting earlier. That's maybe some better news.
Yes. So apparently we have a listener that we were not aware about. I got a lovely DM from the one, the only Jesse Graff last night. She said, thank you so much for all the nice things you said about me in the Tacoma podcast. I was super entertained by your theory of why the producers put me in such a hard region. Laugh emoji. So our tinfoil hat theories are out there. Our conspiracy theories have reached the top in Jesse Graff. So that was really exciting for me. I told her how much I love her and how I had no idea she listened. So maybe we'll work on an interview soon.
Yeah, that's super, super exciting. I can't believe she listens to our podcast.
I know. I never reached out to her because we just assumed that she would never respond.
It's funny too, because I have another totally crazy theory, which is that I think that, you know, we saw the preview for the next city, and then now they're hyping up Jesse LeBrec as like, oh, can Jesse LeBrec be the city finals finisher? And I feel like maybe they set this up to be the same thing as the first Mom Over the Warped Wall, where they really hyped up one person and then it that person failed, and then it was the next person. And I feel like they thought, you know what, Jesse Lebrecht was more loyal to us last season. She showed up for Vegas, so we'll give Jesse Graff the hard one, and we'll see what happens with Flex Lebrecht here.
Yeah, they need to set up their new stars. But I don't know. We will always respect Jesse as the star of the women right now.
Yes, and I guess I should also say now that Jesse Graff has no connection to these theories.
Oh yeah, not an endorsement. She used the cry laughing emoji.
She does not endorse our crazy.
No,
and honestly, I don't like. I don't actually believe them either. We're just having fun here.
Yeah, but huge honor to have Jesse as a listener. If any other ninjas are listening, please reach out to us. We love to hear from you because we literally have no idea who's listening of you guys.
There you go. It's benefits of being a top three Ninja Warrior podcaster.
Yeah, definitely top three, at least top five.
All right, so let's talk about these runs here. We started with Anthony Eardley, who was a welder, and he is going to be the first person to get to the Angry Birds and then fail the Angry Birds.
Does he qualify?
Let's see here. Anthony, he does not qualify.
You know, it's tough because he's got a great smile and is very hot, so we'll be sad to not see him in Vegas.
It's what happens when you have a great smile and you're hot, but you don't have a beard.
True. Anthony, grow a beard for next year.
I do not remember what he looks like. But
I don't really either.
I figured that if you didn't mention a beard, that he didn't have one.
Yeah, I don't really remember what he looks like either, but I wrote he's got a very nice smile and is very hot.
There you go. Next was Logan Craiglow, who went out on the salmon ladder. Then the nap time ninja, Ryan Lee, who, man, this was not the right, course to, be doing your nap time stunts.
Oh yeah. There are a lot of people who are going to do some quick stunts and it's like every second matters on this one.
Yeah,
more than any other course.
He is lying down after every obstacle, taking some naps and, oh boy. Not the right time for it.
Yeah. So I'm assuming he did not qualify.
No, he did not.
although I do really identify with his nickname. There aren't very many ninja nicknames that I identify with. Yeah, but I take a lot of naps.
We had Eli Bell, who went down on Crank It Up as well. Next was Carter Olson. She was one of the top five female qualifiers, and so now she is here to take on the city finals course, and I believe she went down on the dangerous curves in qualifying.
In qualifying.
So she has to take on this course and try to get through that this time. She does manage to get through the dangerous curves. However, she does go down on Crank It Up this time. However, that is going to be enough to allow her to qualify as one of the top two women in the city.
Carter the Crusher.
Yes, she crushes things.
The course.
Yes, like she crushed the dangerous curves
with like a really weird GoPro angle on her.
Was there? I didn't notice.
Yeah, there was like a camera like right in her face when she was doing that, which they don't often do. Are you going to buy the American Ninja Warrior video game?
I saw a little bit of it. Looked terrible.
Wait, a video game based on a reality show that's bad? Have you ever played that old school Survivor computer game that came out after Marquesas?
I've heard of it. I never actually played it.
Truly bad.
I feel like I had heard that there was a Ninja Warrior video game in the works, but I feel like I saw footage of it that was way better than this, but I could be completely imagining that.
I don't know. Looks tough. Joe Morowski said it was tough.
It looks like a mobile game. Is it not a mobile game? It didn't feel like a mobile game because I think there were controller prompts.
Yeah, it looked like Joe was playing it on a console.
Yeah, so why does it look like a mobile game?
Maybe it's in beta. Maybe they gave the ninjas all of the early drafts.
You know what? Maybe it's super fun. You know, not all games need to be high tech and graphically
Here's
great.
The true question. Can we play it on your Twitch when it comes out?
Yes. Definitely.
Like, that's the move.
All right. So look forward to that. Twitch.tv/Taren Armstrong. next up was Kevin Liang, who was trained by Mr. Taiwan, a big, what would you call it? Like bodybuilder.
Yeah.
They compete in competitions to be named Mr. Taiwan. And then I believe he also competed in Mr. Asia.
Yep.
And came in third. Yes. So I really liked this. This, you know, this reminded me just the name Mr. Taiwan made me think of Mr. Sasuke from the Japanese version. And so I was like, oh, it's like mentorship happening here.
Yeah. My favorite was that he never called him anything besides Mr. Taiwan.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if Mr. Taiwan is just totally his brand and he didn't want him to use his name, or if at this point he doesn't know his name and at this point he's too embarrassed to ask.
Well, the thing I was confused, surely there are more than one person. It's like surely more than one person has won Mr. Taiwan.
Yes.
In the past. So why does this guy get to be named Mr. Taiwan? Did they all call, once you win Mr. Taiwan, you're just known as Mr. Taiwan forever, like, and there's a bunch of them?
When you're the president of the United States and like even after you're done, you're called Mr. President for the rest of your life.
There you go. I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. Although
would you if you were trained by if say Barack Obama was your Ninja Warrior trainer and you had a package about how you were trained by Barack Obama, would you be like, yes, Mr. President trained me. I really looked up to Mr. President.
I mean, maybe you are supposed to call him Mr. President.
Well, yeah,
but the more direct comparison is like if you only ever called somebody Miss America, like if everybody in the Big Brother celebrity house called Ariadna Miss Colombia every single time they talked about her.
Man, Miss Colombia, I love her.
It's like a drag name.
Yeah. I thought this was a fun little package here. Kevin Lang though is not going to do super well here. He's going to go out on the Crank It Up.
Yeah, but he's a stock trader, so he's going to be fine.
Then we got to Tristan Poffenberger.
Great name.
Yeah. Who was going very quickly, but ended up going down at the Dangerous Curves.
Dangerous Curves.
Gotta watch out. He's only 19 years old. He doesn't have a lot of experience with the Dangerous Curves. He's gotta be careful.
You don't know.
Daniel Eskent went down on Crank It Up. And Anthony DeFranco is going to make it all the way to Angry Birds and fail at that that backwards transition thing, but he will qualify for Vegas. One of the fastest times. He's number. I don't even have to like count from like who didn't complete the course. No. Everybody who qualified was at Angry Birds, so he was the sixth fastest to Angry Birds. All right. So then we had Clayton Mirage, who is the Shark Ninja.
Yeah.
Did he call himself the Shark Ninja?
No, he calls himself that. Okay. I have several questions. If he loves sharks so much, why were there several pictures of him with sharks out of the water on his lap on a boat?
Oh, as in like he was like hunting them
or something. He was like literally on a boat taking a smiley picture with a shark out of water that he's holding.
Was the shark alive?
I'm sorry. Am I supposed to be able to tell? It's not like they close their eyes when they die.
Well, maybe
it's
he
a
was
still
just
photo.
It's a very big difference between, hey, I'm hanging out with my buddy Lita and, oh, hey, I'm hanging out with my buddy Lita's corpse.
Yeah, but a shark out of water is not comfortable. And how did it get on the boat?
Hey, you don't know.
Caught?
Maybe they're friends and the shark jumped up on the boat to hang out with his friend and he's going to go back down into the water after.
Can you pose for a picture?
Yeah.
You know, I am not a big shark guy. However, I went to a shark themed drag show recently because it was Shark Week and I may be turning around on sharks a little bit.
Actual sharks or just the concept of sharks?
I think actual. I think they've done nothing wrong. I'm not like scared of them. I just never. It seems they're like an animal that when I was young, like boys were obsessed with in like second grade. It was like sharks and dinosaurs, you know. So I never really had an affinity for them because they're kind of a boy animal. But that's not really their fault.
I never really got Sharks and Shark Week.
Yeah, I never really watched Shark Week. But it felt like dolphins were for girls and sharks were for boys.
Yeah, I liked dolphins.
Yeah. Wow, you're very subversive.
Yeah. Well, now I feel bad about it. Now I feel like I did it wrong.
No, it means that you are above the gender dichotomy of these mammalian aquatic animals.
Dolphins are smart.
I know.
Yeah.
Listen, you don't have to tell me. I love dolphins.
All right. So next up was Carapaleo.
Do I want to talk about Clayton at all? Or just say that Clayton? He's the shark ninja?
I skipped over it. Oh, no. Clayton's shark.
Yeah.
Shark ninja. Yes, he went out on Angry Birds. And
his friend in a shark costume jumps in the water.
Yes, he did not qualify.
R.I.P.
Yes. Then we had Cara Pulio. Yeah. And she is she's the Ninja Babes podcast person.
Oh, yes. Right.
So definitely cheering on a fellow top three Ninja Warrior podcaster.
Do you think that's in the top three?
Surely.
I feel like maybe they are and we might not be if they're included.
Oh, you know what? Well, are they still doing the official one now?
I think so. Yeah. And the Wolfpack.
I guess there are more than I remembered.
Yeah. There's like a lot of American Ninja Warrior podcasts. If you go on iTunes and search American Ninja Warrior, let's see what comes up. I don't think like they changed the. Okay. So it's the official one, then us, then Armchair.
Okay.
So
sorry, Ninja Babes. You're not top three.
But the Wolfpack one, I guess they're not doing it anymore.
I thought. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'll take it.
Maybe we should just start calling it top four.
Yeah. We don't want to exclude anybody.
No, not when there's only four of us. unfortunately though, man, she came close to qualifying for Vegas here, given that she, made it to the city finals. She goes down on the dangerous curves. So she's just going to be behind, the crusher here, Carter. Mm-hmm. Close. Almost there. We almost got a podcaster in Vegas.
It's going to have to be you, Taryn.
You know what? I'm getting closer.
Okay.
Alex Goodwin is up next. Alex Goodwin is it works with animals, exotic animals.
Yes, I like Alex Goodwin because he doesn't work at a zoo.
Rescues them.
Exactly.
What does he rescue them from, though? I didn't catch that.
I don't know. People.
Yeah.
Poachers, or maybe they're just injured. I don't know. It doesn't matter. Just let me have this. Somebody that works with animals, but not in a bad way.
Yeah.
He's also the one that calls himself the natural, even though that was definitely already somebody else's thing.
Oh yeah.
But I don't remember who.
It was the guy that jumped in. No, that's Tarzan. Who's the natural?
I don't know. It was definitely somebody.
It was. I don't remember who now.
It was like somebody from like early on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Elliot Hall.
Yes. Oh, yeah. He retired. I forgot about that.
Yeah. And he was the natural. So maybe he passed on his title.
Well, that's what happens when you delete your account. Your username is now up for grabs. So
we're gonna see like the natural, the second, the big dog ninja 2.
Yeah, well, no, not even 2, just,
well, I'll refer to them as junior.
All right. Alex Goodwin goes down on the salmon ladder. Next was Ryan Ritazzi, who went out on the Angry Birds once again, and also not going to qualify for Vegas. Lots of people who made it there not going to qualify. Then we get to Mike Salenzi, who is the stallion.
Mm-hmm. With the, yes, Four Horsemen Alliance.
who's in the Four Horsemen?
It's Ethan, Jesse LeBrec, Chris DeGangi, and Grant McCartney.
So where's Mike's spot in that?
Well, he's like running and the Four Horsemen are on the sidelines.
So is he the fifth horseman?
I guess, Taryn. They didn't actually call them the Four Horsemen. Maybe they did. I don't know. There's four people on hobby horses and they're like, most of them are from Chicago. And it's like, we know that Grant's not from Chicago.
Hmm. Would he just be like the lead horse, maybe the Santa Claus to their rain horses?
I think there's significantly more than four rain horses.
Hey, horses are more powerful than deer. I think they need less of them.
Oh, okay. So you're saying if it was rain horses instead of reindeer, then there would only have to be four. Santa's sleigh is 9 reindeer power, but only 4 horsepower.
Exactly.
Okay. I see. I was not taught these conversions as a on account of me being a Jew.
You know, it's a shame. You know, not only the religious, you know, implications, but also just, you know, people. Oh, it's fantasy, so it doesn't need to be taught in schools. Like, come on, guys.
Wow. Taryn really coming out against the separation of church and state. You heard it here first.
No, of fantasy and state.
But this is goy fantasy, specifically.
Santa Claus and the reindeer?
Yes. That is goy nonsense.
I don't even know what that means.
Goy?
Goy nonsense? What is specific kind of nonsense?
Yeah, it's a non-Jewish kind of nonsense.
How does that make it specifically Jewish nonsense? Why isn't it just regular nonsense?
No, it's goy nonsense. A goy is a non-Jew. And so it's Santa in his sleigh are goy nonsense.
Okay, so it's like not none of us believe that crazy nonsense. It's only anybody that's not us that believes it. Is the
Well, it's like when somebody tells me something silly from the Bible or something. Okay. It's like, oh, that's goy nonsense. That's not in the Torah,
right?
You know, it's like non-Jewish crap that you guys believe.
Mm.
Also, let's not make this the second time we get yelled at on a podcast about Santa Claus. On the time that Taryn and I ruined Santa. Can you put a trigger warning for parents to not listen to this with young kids in the car?
Yeah, be wary of, hey, look, all I'm saying is that I think that Santa Claus should be taught in schools. And
okay.
we need you know, math problems about horsepower versus reindeer power. It's very important.
Okay. Separation of fantasy and state is officially out for Taryn.
Yes. Yes, I agree. Now we are going to take a quick break for our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And we're back. So let's get back to the show. Mike Salenzi is going to I believe make it to the Angry Birds, and then he is barely going to be there fast enough to qualify. The last 3 finishers all were 3 minutes 18, 317, 317, and then the next 2 were 314, 314. So it's all very, very tight up there.
And by finishers, we mean people who got to Angry Birds.
Qualifiers, I mean, yeah. Yes. qualifiers for Vegas. So just up there. I mean, he struggled through the salmon ladder. Like, this was, you know, this is not a typically qualifying run, I think.
Yeah, definitely. He's one of those people that barely touches the Angry Birds.
Mm-hmm. Angela Gargano.
Nailed it.
Yes, is next. She's the one that had the torn ACL.
Mm-hmm. She's a fitness model.
Yes, from last season, I believe.
Yeah.
And she's going to take on the course here, but, she took the crazy fall on the hazard cones and barely managed to survive.
Yeah. But all her friends are in the sidelines wearing light up cat ears. I want to be her friend. I don't have light up cat ears.
Oh, well, why not?
I don't know. It never occurred to me, Taryn.
Wow. Just a lack of imagination. Probably because you weren't taught fantasy in school.
Yeah, probably.
She made it to Crank It Up, but is going to go down on Crank It Up.
Yeah, does not qualify.
Yeah. And then we had Abby Clark, who came close to beating Crank It Up, but not just failed it. And this is, again, this is a situation where, like, you know, Abby Clark made it further and Crank It Up than Carter Olson, but didn't get there as fast. And so just she failed right at the end. And so she's not going to qualify for Vegas.
Yeah. Yeah. It's frustrating.
Yeah. Then we have Joe Capobianco, who went out on the Angry Birds.
Okay.
And did qualify just behind Mike Salenzi. Then we have Julius Ferguson, who went and took on the course here. Did a backflip on the warp wall.
Yeah. Did this make you angry? Because time is so important here.
Yeah. Went out on the Angry Birds. I was annoyed, but then they said, and he had the fastest time of the night so far. So I was like, all right.
He was still the fastest there. Yeah, he's a rapper. Black Jules.
There you go.
And I guess trains with Drew Dreschel.
Oh, yes, yes. Then we had, oh yeah, he did the backflip to
be an homage to Drew.
Yes, homage for Drew Dreschel. Mm-hmm. Then we get to Joe Morofsky.
Mm-hmm. There was a storm coming.
I was like, oh man, this is early in the night.
Yeah, although there were some other people. I mean, having Najee last makes sense to me, even with Joe there.
Yeah, I don't remember when they showed the tester doing the grip, the switch. But was it right before Joe?
I don't remember that.
At some point in the night, and I think it was around the time Joe ran, they were like, lots of people falling at this this transition. Earlier today, you can see that a tester managed to complete it. And I was like, they have never done this before in the history of American Ninja Warrior that I can recall, at least not in this particular way. And so it was at that point that I was like, nobody's going to beat this, are they? There's no way they show a tester completing the obstacle if somebody else does it, because they want somebody else to be the first people we see to do it. So from this point forward, I was like, well, clearly nobody's going to beat this.
Yep.
I think it might have been right after Joe, because I was pretty shocked when Joe fell. Joe is here. He's only ever failed at City Finals course once. That was in Philadelphia a few years ago. I was actually there to see it happen. Luckily I was not here in Baltimore. Otherwise I would have felt like I was a curse. But he takes on the course, gets through it very quickly, of course, gets to the Angry Birds, gets to that transition, and he is not going to be able to successfully make the transition. And he will qualify in seventh fastest to the Angry Birds, but it didn't even seem like he was trying for speed. He really, I think, felt that he could get through it, but not the case. He's going to go down at Angry Birds, but we will still see him in Vegas, thank God.
Mm-hmm. You can't grab what you can't see.
Yeah, and I will say this. One of the reasons why I was kind of shocked was because I saw a tweet from the American Ninja Warrior, like, Twitter account or whatever, the night of the thing, which sometimes is spoilery, so I usually try to avoid it. But I saw this tweet, and I saw, like, something along the lines of, like, oh, it's the Power Tower matchup we really wanted, or, like, that we deserved tonight. And so I was like, oh, great, we're going to see Joe versus Najee on the Power Tower. I can't wait. And then Joe goes down here. I was like, no.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Whoever wrote that was like Dave Kavanaugh's wife.
Yeah. So next up we have Lucas Reale, who trains with Dave Kavanaugh and is goes to his gym. I was actually like, how close is this gym to me? Because they're in the Boston area.
Yeah.
I liked this package. I was really touched by the story. You know, Lucas went to the gym to train and sort of found a second family there. His father, unfortunately, passed away through suicide, and he, you know, he struggled through that and really was able to, find this sense of community in this gym and really put his time into it. And, now he works there and, they're a big happy family.
Yeah, they are. And we have music.
Yes.
Which doesn't, in this case, mean he'll finish, but it does mean he'll do very well.
Music, not an indicator in the city finals.
Right. But I mean, it's still he still does very well.
True.
Top two.
Yeah. So he takes on the course, does very well, of course, gets through very quickly, makes it to the Angry Birds very fast, which is the thing to do here in this city. He did try something different, which I actually thought was pretty clever. Something that I would probably expect from like Drew if Drew was taking on this course. He tried to skip the backwards handhold and just go straight to the next one. Unfortunately, did not make it, but I could see somebody like Najee or Joe or Drew, if they were attempting this, being capable of doing that. And maybe that's the way that they should go about it. He was the only one to try, though, as far as I'm aware.
Yeah. I mean, it was so hard for me to even pay attention to technique on this because they all go out not just on the Angry Birds, but at the exact same spot.
Yeah.
That it's sort of like, oh, maybe I'll get my hopes up that they're going to do better because they're trying something different, but it never mattered.
Mm-hmm. It did seem like the tester that we saw do it had very little forward momentum. And I know that Akbar, when I think it was Najee was doing this, he was like, no, not enough momentum. But I was like, no, when we saw the tester do it, he was barely swinging. And I think that's what it is. Like if you have too much forward momentum, your hands are going to slip right off. Also remember that it was Baltimore that everybody had a ton of trouble with the power, or not power tower, the mega wall, because of the humidity, the sort of slickness of the just sort of air and the, I guess, like things are getting slippery. So that I would imagine also contributed to the fact that when you try to put your hands in there, you need a lot of traction to hold yourself down if you have forward momentum. And so you're probably just slipping right off if that's not the case. That's how it goes. Apparently, I was looking at, there were some people talking about it on the Reddit. I was interested to see more about this. There is a Ninja Warrior Reddit. I think it's the ANW Reddit. And they did talk about how there were multiple testers that were able to complete the whole course. So, I don't know what that was. If they were doing it earlier in the day, maybe that meant that there was less, moisture in the air or something along those lines. But, you know, it's the way it goes sometimes.
Yeah, or just you see so many people fail at the same part of an obstacle, it gets in your head.
Maybe that was it.
The pressure.
But he did get there very fast. He's going to end up being the second fastest to that point by a hair.
Yeah.
And we will see him on the power tower. Then we get to a montage of people who fell at the Angry Birds: Connor Galvin, Garrett Lamb, and Chris Wilczewski, who fortunately did manage to qualify. Chris Wilczewski, Connor did as well, and so did Garrett. Garrett was the final qualifier at 3 minutes and 18 seconds. Chris was also a qualifier in 10th place there with 3 minutes and 14 seconds. So luckily we will see Chris in the Vegas finals, but
give him a package,
right? Then we have Alyssa Beard, finally, getting to see Alyssa here. I love that they keep now just like doing random cuts to her music video in school with no context.
No, we reward longtime watchers who have seen her music video.
Very, very funny there. Great to see Alyssa. Of course, we're going to see lots of Akbar just really, really loving that she's a teacher again. Can't be an Alyssa Beard run without some weird Akbar teacher comments.
Miss Beard. Oh, did you see Santa in the crowd during speaking of fantasy? Yeah, Santa loves beards.
There you go. She does very well here, of course. She got through Crank It Up. She went, which is where she fell the last time. She then was the only female to get through Crank It Up. She got up the Warped Wall. And
she's only the second woman ever to get through Crank It Up.
And what I saw on the Reddit was that's not even true. who was it? I can't remember. She's jacked and she's short.
Barclay.
Apparently Barclay might have done it.
Okay.
I think somebody else did it and they just forgot, maybe. I don't know.
Who was the first?
That's a look.
Okay. Whatever.
So Alyssa makes it all the way to the Angry Birds. And is also going to take on the grab this thing. And I will say, even though I was convinced nobody was gonna do it, there was a part of me that was like, come on. Please, that would be so good.
I know. She made it as far as any man.
Yep. Did not get there fast enough to qualify in the top 12. In fact, about 2 minutes off of that, but still is going to be the first place female qualifier.
Yay, Alyssa.
All right. So next up was Brandon McWilliams, who went out on the Angry Birds, but will qualify. Then Brandon Stenta, who went down on the salmon ladder, who could have qualified, but failed, could not get all the way up the salmon ladder. And then Lucio Batista, who barely made it through the salmon ladder, barely managed to get to the Angry Birds, but he did get there, and he was fast enough that he will qualify. And this is another one where it's just like, if you can barely get up the salmon ladder, I'm sorry, but you don't have any business in the national
finals. But he does, because he's the mustache ninja.
Yes, he is. So you know, there's still some positives.
Mm-hmm.
Next up was Jamie Ron. Oh, this is so upsetting.
Yeah.
Just did not. He's taking his time because he says he doesn't worry about time. You got to worry about time in a situation like
this. No, he's going to bet on himself, Taryn.
Bet on yourself to do it fast.
Yeah. I mean, how much do you think he was aware?
I don't know, because maybe he was running earlier in the day. I mean, I guess they were able to tell him immediately after that he didn't qualify. So it must have been a later one in the night. I don't know how much they're aware of, like, what time they need to make and all of that stuff. Sometimes they know. Yeah. Sometimes it seems like they're completely oblivious. And Akbar and Matt usually play it off like, I don't know why they don't understand why they need to. It's like they don't know.
Yeah.
And it's like, so they kind of make it seem like they should know, but they act like they don't know. So it's very confusing. But, you know, ultimately here, I get that he wants to just like do well on the course. And if he's the one person to make it through this obstacle, that's fantastic. But just, I don't know. Can't you just like rest for like 2 minutes once you hit the Angry Birds or something?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
So Jamie Ronnie, he's gonna get to the Angry Birds 2/100ths of a second slower. Or no, it wasn't that slow. That was Najee. I don't know how much slower he was. Very
not much.
Very, very close.
Yeah.
Very, very close to qualifying, but is not going to get there. He's just going to be slower than Garrett Lamb, and he is not going to qualify for Vegas. And man, that was an awkward interview afterward too, where like she's asking him like how much did you worry about time, and he was like, I don't really worry about time. I bet on myself and all of this stuff. And like, I thought he already knew that he hadn't qualified at that point. That's why she was asking those questions. And then she was like, well, now that I've gotten that answer out of you, let me break the bad news. You will not be qualifying for Vegas. And,
it's awful. Yeah.
Yeah. Rough stuff. All right.
And she's like, will this motivate you more for next year? And he's like, I don't need more motivation.
Yeah. It was like, getting there slightly slower than a person who barely made it up the salmon ladder and not qualifying for Vegas, is that going to motivate me more to be 1 second faster in a weird city finals course like this in the future? Like, this was not a failure of Jamie Ron. This was a weird quirk of the qualifying system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So then we finally get to Najee Richardson, and I know for a fact he's not completing this.
Right.
Najee is going to say, I was just like, what I thought, maybe he'll make it past. No, I don't think so, because they showed the tester. He just can't. Mm-hmm. He does get there very, very quickly, but not quite fast enough to beat Lucas Riley. He is this is the run where he is 2/100ths of a second behind Lucas's time getting to the Angry Birds. So we will not be seeing Najee on the power tower, which means he will not be getting the safety pass and will not have the same advantage that some of these other big names will, which is very unfortunate, because you know, this is what took Najee out. He went out in stage two last time. Like,
did he?
Right? Or was it the time before?
I think it was the time before, because wasn't last year the water walls? Oh, yes. Yes. That was stage two.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Because of the stupid swimming thing.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, like he could use it.
Right.
Could use the safety pass.
Yeah.
Not going to get it though. So there we go. That's not, it's still so great to watch Najee. I love him so much. I we're just watching him on the course, so much body control, with everything he does. He seriously does just like fly. They also, his package was about, the American Lung Association. He's been, working with, firefighters to raise money for lung cancer victims and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just a lovely person.
Yes. All right. Then we got to Dave Kavanaugh, the final run of the night. Dave is the person who won the speed pass in the qualifying round. And so now he's going to take on the city finals course and he kills it. Yeah. He talks about how he lives in his van. And, you know, you do you. But that shower situation did not seem pleasant.
This is the second reality show person this week that has come on a show that I watched and talked about living in a van. There's a guy on Bachelor in Paradise who now lives in a van too. And I just don't understand it, but I'm glad that he and his wife are happy.
You know, it's like, I can see the appeal. Like if you can get like a nice cozy van situation, like they said, they can basically live anywhere, go anywhere they want, and they have their home right there. I think it's mostly just like, if he was single, might make more sense. Like,
yeah,
it makes a little more sense if there's not two people. And like
two dogs too.
Right. And initially I was like, oh my God, how could, and then, they just let them out of the van.
Right. Yeah.
But like the method of having to take apart your entire counter in order to take a shower. Yeah. I was like, I don't know about them, but for me, if I had to do that much work to take a shower, I would maybe die.
Yeah. Especially cause, you don't pay rent. So can't you just afford a bigger van? With a shower, a mobile home?
Look, they seem to enjoy it. And I really like, they seem like a really cool, couple. And I really did like the package with Dave and his Lucas. So I really like Dave. I really like that he sort of had more of a spotlight on him here. I would have loved to see
the king of the walk-ons.
Yeah, I would have loved to see Joe and Najee take on the Power Tower, but I do like that this allowed us to see a little bit more of some of these other athletes that seem like they're really cool.
Yeah, and it's cute that the two on the Power Tower have a relationship.
Yes. So he is going to get to the Angry Birds with the fastest time by far, really. Over 15 seconds, is going to be the difference there between him and Lucas getting to the Angry Birds. So he knew what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Although he did have, he had the safety, that was speed pass, so it didn't really matter. But he's going to make it to the Power Tower. He's going to face off with Lucas. And I had a feeling it was going to be these two because of that tweet. When it wasn't, right, when it wasn't Joe and Najee, I was like, oh, it's these two.
It has to be two people that are somehow connected. Yeah.
So they take on the Power Tower. I've yet to be satisfied with a Power Tower race, for the city finals.
I don't even like look at it. I'm like, yeah, on my phone.
it's just okay. Dave is going to do pretty well here. He's going to beat Lucas. It's not going to be particularly close. There was like a little bit of distance closing when they got to the ladders, but for the most part here, Dave took the lead early and Dave is going to win the safety pass. So, very interested to see, like, I would love to see Dave, you know, with a safety pass in hand, be somebody that makes it to stage three. Like, you know, you usually don't see like people who aren't major names make it to stage three. And so it would be cool to see Dave make it there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We'll see.
We'll see. All right. That's what we have for you. That was Baltimore. And now we're looking ahead to next week's Cincinnati City Finals. And they were really hyping up this Jesse LeBrec situation. Mm-hmm. Can she be the first? So I feel like I'm putting odds on Jesse maybe finishing a city final course.
Wait, the first what?
Or sorry, not the first. Will she be the second?
The second what?
Female to finish a city final course.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I guess.
They're acting like it's the first because it's been a while.
Right. Okay. The first since Casey, but we don't talk about her anymore.
The first Casey? Since Casey who betrayed us.
Yeah, exactly. All right. You want to run through our qualifiers?
Sure. We got Dave Kavanaugh, who was the fastest and then won the safety pass and the speed pass. All he needed was the mega wall and he could have had the trifecta.
The triple crown.
Then we had Lucas Rialli, Naji Richardson, Julius Ferguson, Connor Galvin, Anthony DeFranco, Joe Morovsky, Lucio Batista, Brandon McWilliams, Chris Wolchuski, Joe Capobianco, Mike Salenzi, and Garrett Lamb are the top 12/13 qualifiers. And then we have the top two women, Alyssa Beard and Carter Olson.
Oh, I guess I didn't realize that Alyssa didn't qualify outright.
No, yes, that's right. She was, Garrett was the slowest to the Angry Birds to qualify in the top 12. He was at 3:18. Alyssa was at 5:18 to the Angry Birds. So,
yeah, but again, it's one of those things where she went further on exactly. the obstacle than a lot of people.
Yeah, like if this was doable, then she might have actually qualified outright. Because, like, nobody cares about like how fast, like when we're watching Alyssa take 2 minutes more time than Garrett, we're not like, oh, this is so much less impressive. Like, it makes zero difference to watching it. So that's why I feel like they should incorporate, you know, more of the sort of obstacle getting further.
Prowess, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I have a review.
Was it from Jesse Graff?
Maybe. That would be pretty iconic. It's from Adrian E95, which maybe is Jesse's alt account. And I will preface this review by saying that my new favorite thing is that all of the reviewers have come up with this inside joke where they say your name wrong. In a show where ninjas are making history every single week, Lita and Torrance are there to recap every run, montage, and sob story. And Shauna Na has to offer. Their banter is fun, and every episode features a learning moment as they Google whatever random thing that comes up. You come for the American Ninja Warrior, but stay for the quality podcasting.
Stay for the quality information gathering via Google.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Lita and Torrance, back at it again.
Well, that's just a Rachel Rialli. Maybe this is Rachel Riley's review.
Oh, well, last week it was Lita and Darren. So
yes, well, that seems like a genuine misunderstanding. Whereas Torrance was Rachel was on a podcast, and Rachel Rialli of Big Brother fame has a lot of trouble with names. Recently called Caitlin Harmon, and some other things. I think she called Ovi Avi. Mm. Yes.
Rachel of the O'Reilly sisters on The Amazing Race, according to Brett and Chris.
Yes, exactly.
Well, thank you for
just
that.
Just like the O'Reilly brothers from Oz.
Thank you for that lovely 5-star review. Keep leaving them for us and asking us questions and DMing us and all of that.
Yes, thanks. Thank you so much to Jesse Graff, if she is listening to this episode and made it all the way through. Very cool that you're listening. We're obviously huge fans and really appreciate you reaching out.
Yeah, of course. And like I said, any other ninjas who have been lurking, please let us know so that I can continue to be mean, but maybe feel more bad about it.
All right. That's what we have for you. Tune in next week for the Cincinnati City Finals. We'll see if we get a Jesse finishing a city's final course. We'll see what happens there. And then 2 weeks from now, we're going to start the Vegas National Finals. That's when things really kick into gear. We'll try to be more on time for those, Lita.
Excuse you.
Those are the important ones.
I work every day except Thursday. This is the best I can do. Okay, I will try to get my ish together to record maybe on like a Tuesday during the day.
Sounds good. All right. And one of the reasons why I think it's not only the national final is important, but it was announced at the end of the episode that the Vegas National Finals will be taking place over the course of 4 episodes instead of the usual 3. Now, that to me sounds a little bit like maybe we have a winner this season. I don't know.
You think Drew is finally going to do it? Or do you think we'll be surprised?
I feel like I'm feeling Najee right now.
I'm feeling Sean.
I'm feeling Sean.
With all this talk about his comeback.
It's true.
From his injury.
Definitely, you know, I got to say, Drew, I would normally say Joe, but I feel like I feel like it's just the hype isn't there right now.
Yeah. I would kill to see Jesse do it.
Yeah. I feel like if somebody wins, it's got to be Drew, Najee, or Sean.
I think that's fair.
Outside chance of Daniel Gill, but less likely.
I wish Josh Levin was competing.
Right?
He's training for the Olympics. What?
Did he sit out of the season? I forget.
He's training for the Olympics because rock climbing is going to be an Olympic event.
Right. But it's very exciting. Four episodes. So I remember earlier this year, I was like, maybe I should go to the Vegas taping because that was really fun. And then I didn't because I was really busy. And now if somebody won, I'm going to be like, damn it.
Yeah. I would also be pretty mad if you went and didn't invite me.
Well, I would have invited you. It was literally just a thought that never went anywhere.
What?
It was just a thought that never went anywhere. It's like, I was like, maybe I should do that. That was fun. And then didn't. So
would you have eaten, they did a huge crab bake and you're always complaining about how hungry you are during the finals. Would you have eaten crab that was freshly steamed?
I mean, I would have cared more about getting water than crab.
Okay, you would say, hey, that water that the crabs were boiled in, could you wait for it to cool down and give it to me?
Ew.
we had water in Vegas, didn't we?
I believe we brought our own drinks.
And I think
we stopped at Starbucks and I got a tea.
Yeah, and I think we had water bottles, but I think they had like a refill station. I feel like I remember going to refill our water bottles while you saved our seats and being like, this is so cool. I'm just like running into every ninja while I'm just going to get water.
That is possible.
Yeah.
It's possible.
But these city finals, they don't do the same consideration.
Yes. Well, make sure you tell your friends to listen to our podcast for the Vegas finals to see if there's a winner. You have to listen to the podcast. You can't just watch the episodes. That's the rule.
Yeah. Otherwise, how will it be recapped for you?
Exactly. Who's going to be Googling, average time to climb a rope for a regular average person?
That's, you know what? That's a pretty interesting, it would probably be really long because there are lots of people that can't climb ropes at all.
Yeah, I think the answer would be zero time because nobody would know, the average person does not complete their rope.
Right, exactly.
But you'll never know unless you listen to the Vegas City Finals podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. You can find me on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. I recently finally started selling t-shirts, the Taryn Show t-shirts you can now purchase. There will also be, it should be a Taryn Show interview coming out somewhat soon, which could be very fun and interesting. And you can find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn. Yeah, that's about what I got.
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Lita Tweeted, on Instagram at Lita Grammed. You can also check out my blog, Drop Dead Culture, which is LitaWrote.wordpress.com. And I don't know, if you live in DC, come to my bar.
There you go.
I'm there every day.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us today. We will see you next time.
Good morning, everyone. I've got a question to ask.
Do you want to be a ninja?
Taryn and Lita will tell you how.
They can't do it themselves because they're not that strong.
This is the American Ninja Warrior song. Thank you.